need, let's say I need service mesh, right? So what am I going to do? Try 57 of them? Kind of like spend a month with each of them? Yeah. So you want to make some kind of filter, not necessarily to choose based on somebody told me, oh, he told me use Istio, I'm going to use Istio, but at least limit it. Okay, those are the three I might want to explore, right?
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to another edition of Cloud Unfiltered. This is a special edition at KubeCon Paris. Right? Yeah.
Your guess is as good as mine. Better, probably.
Yeah. So I have my special guests today. I have Whitney and Victor. And why don't you guys introduce yourself? Go ahead first.
I mean, I'm Victor.
There you go.
Self-explanatory. That's all you need to know. Exactly.
That's it. All right. End of show.
And I'm Whitney, I guess. Let's roll with the theme. We'll earn your trust by the end of this podcast, or we won't.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe we could rename this podcast like "Earn Your Trust," and it's exactly. Like either people can like buzz you out, or you make it to the end.
Kind of how it goes when you listen to a podcast in your car or whatever. You just turn it off.
Really boring, you know. I'm sure everybody's just turning off my Cloud Unfiltered every day. It's just like, you know.
To me, introductions sound like, you know, similar to giving CVs for applying for a job. And we all know that everybody's lying and it's mostly not true. So why bother in the first place, right?
Mostly not true.
That totally makes sense. But you guys are here for a purpose. You're actually having a talk. And maybe you could talk a little bit about, give us a little teaser about what this, although everybody will have heard your talk by the time this airs. Mm-hmm. But give us a teaser about what it is and maybe tell us a little bit about it.
Victor and I are doing a talk together in just a couple hours now. It's called Choose Your Own Adventure, The Struggle for Security. So together we have a streaming show called You Choose. And in the show, we ask the community to make a system design choice. Like each episode is a different system design choice. And then for each episode, we gather all the relevant CNCF technology that can do that choice. We have an expert on to represent each technology. And then each expert only gets 5 minutes to present about their tech. And we're very serious about the 5 minutes. Victor has a gong. He loves to use it.
Yes. I urge everybody to go over 5 minutes, please.
It gives him a sense of importance. And then at the ends, we ask the community to vote. And whatever technology they choose is what we build into an ongoing demo. So we've been doing this show together for over a year now, and we just finished chapter 3 and making a bunch of security choices.
So, but I have to stop you right there because I read Choose Your Own Adventure books when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so do you change to a page? Is there like a go to page 31 if you choose this or go to page 20?
If you follow the Git repo, actually at the end of each one, there is, okay, so what do you choose? And then there are links, go here, go there, or go there, right?
So it's just like the pages.
It's not pages literally in terms of numbers, but there are links depending on what you want to choose.
Have a couple of texts that aren't CNCF. So if you choose one of those, you get to a page where you like died.
Exactly.
You get to dead ends in the story, just like Choose Your Own Adventure.
That's so cool.
That's the show we streamed together to answer your first question of what the talk is we're doing.
Let's get to the real crux of this here.
Well, I just wanted to close the loop on the thought, which was we're doing a talk together and it's a choose your own adventure style talk that's live. So we're going to have live voting. We're going to do 4 different security system design choices, have live voting, and then Victor will build out the demo based on what people choose as part of the live voting.
Awesome.
And the thing that people are getting familiar with those talks. Uh-huh. So I see the increased number of choices that can be only explained by like, let's annoy Victor.
That's the only way I can explain
some of the choices people are making lately.
Which one seems tedious or difficult or outdated? Definitely that one.
So going back to that show, do people choose stuff that you didn't expect? or is it pretty much most of the time? Because I like if we were choosing something like a service mesh, there would be certain ones I would think are most popular and I would know what those were and probably predict what they would choose. But are there some that you were like, oh my God, I wouldn't have picked that?
I don't think that we had kind of those choices. There are cases when people choose what I wouldn't choose. But I don't recall choice kind of like, there is no way that this can be chosen and then it ends up being chosen.
That's
because usually there is very often a big discrepancy between, okay, this is a mature project, thousands of people are using it, and this is a project that we never heard of before.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, incubation sandbox or something like that. So, and they don't simply, I think that because of the gravity, they're not often chosen, right?
But CubeArmor was chosen over Falco. CubeArmor is a little project, and Falco's a graduate.
That was a good one.
And yeah. I can think of times when there not a lot of a lot of people will watch the episode, but not a lot of people actually take the time to vote.
Really?
So it can be gamed. Like, there have been speakers who like recruit their community to vote.
Interesting.
So we see maybe not the most popular one, but we know the speaker well enough to know that there's some sort of internal like stuff going on.
Wow.
That's bringing in the votes.
That's the trick we use in our talks, like in KubeCon, right?
Uh-huh.
It's always full. And I have a theory that it's full because people bring other people just to ensure that their project, you know, they're not necessarily interested in the talk.
That's really interesting. Now, I'm curious because I often have this conversation on my podcast that the complexity of the cloud native ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
and that there needs to be like a guidebook that says, you know, if you're looking at these kinds of things, if you're in this layer of technology, you could, you know, here are your choices and here's why you should choose these things and kind of guide people along. Is that why you kind of created your show? Because you wanted to kind of highlight the complexities and kind of show what some of these are?
I mean, the first and the most important reason why, and now this is in retrospective, not necessarily what was initially the reason, but now in retrospective,
yeah,
it's very clear that we chose to do this show because we are masochists. That's the only way I can explain what we're doing right now. I don't like, there is no other explanation, right? We cover less, more. We cannot cover more projects joined.
More projects joined than we're able to cover in real time.
Able to cover in a year. Sorry, and the whole idea of. Because I was really proud of that idea. Look, I'm going to actually make them all work together no matter what they pick.
Uh-huh.
And when we got to like 50th layer, it's such a nightmare. Oh yeah, but if they picked YTT, that's going to be like this. And if they picked customers, it's going to be something else. Oh, uh-huh. But I forgot about service mesh. Yeah, what did they pick for that? How do I make this thing work in that service mesh instead of...
And now this project has updated in a way that breaks this other thing. And yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So do you keep building on the project with the tool that you're using? And like, how does that work?
So with a few exceptions.
Yeah.
So one thing is what we do as a live demo in a YouTube show, right? That's what people chose.
Yeah.
But the repository, that contains all the pods.
Oh, so you really are a masochist.
Yeah, exactly. So do I look like I'm joking? Or what?
the answer to your question, the idea of the podcast, I'm a relatively new learner and completely overwhelmed by the CNCF space, or I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, okay, how can I begin to understand this? And I did. It was totally like an idea in the shower. Like, what if it's like a choose your own adventure? But I also knew enough to know that sounded like wild to do. But then Victor was the perfect pair. We didn't. The story goes like this. I asked Victor if he wanted to pair with me. I'd seen him around at conferences where we clearly like each other's company. And he said yes. And I was like, oh, this is exciting. Victor's going to pair with me. And I'm kind of like already.
Was there like a friendship bracelet or something that occurred?
Not yet,
no?
But we have.
That came later.
We have best friends. You see our best friends bracelets?
Nice.
Yeah. No, we weren't best friends yet. We were just like friendly acquaintances. But I was like churning about, like, I know so little and he knows so much. Like, how are we going to meet in the middle on this? So I was starting to think about that. But meanwhile, I'm also just hanging out with Victor at KubeCon as friends. And one night we're at a bar together and four different people asked him to collaborate with them to be up for KubeCon talks. And he said yes to every single one of them. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I thought I was special and he wanted to collaborate with me. But then he says yes to everybody. It means nothing. So I got my idea in first.
But I love that because, you know, I often think about the user that hasn't kind of come along with the ride like a lot of us have,
mm-hmm.
and who's looking to say, you know, I heard that my CIO says I have to go cloud native. Okay. Mm-hmm. I heard about this thing called Kubernetes. What's a CNI? What's a CSI? What's mm-hmm. What's in the 5,000 different pieces of the landscape that are out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so complex that you know, when you guys started doing this, I think it's amazing mm-hmm. that there's something like this that can help people along that journey. And even though that might not have been the original intent, I think mm-hmm. that's what's occurring.
Yeah, that is ultimately the idea, kind of to go through choices and see what makes more sense for a given context, right?
Because a given context.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever people choose, that does not mean that it fits every company.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's mm-hmm. drop all the other projects for CNCF. That's not the idea, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get the idea so that you can make more informed choices, right? Ooh. Or maybe to filter, because one of the problems I feel myself, right, is that, okay, let's say I need service mesh, right? So what am I going to do? Try 57 of them? Kind of like spend a month with each of them?
Yeah.
So you want to make some kind of filter, not necessarily to choose based on somebody told me, he told me use Istio, I'm going to use Istio, but at least limit it. Okay, those are the three I might want to explore, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we limit our scope to the CNCF landscape, but even our conversation can help scaffold like, okay, these are the considerations when I'm making this system design choice.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot too.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. You know, I mean, I think it's a huge help to the to the community. So
the more than giving a solution, we're giving you a way to think about it.
Yeah. And I had Chris Anicek on, and I always mispronounce his name, but I asked him to tell me last time. But I had him on a couple weeks ago. And, you know, it's interesting because they have to stay pretty agnostic because they're supporting all the projects. So you need people like in the community to try and figure out, you know, to help people along the way, because they can't really do that, you know?
And we're careful not to have opinions, at least on the show.
Yeah.
And also we're careful not to say this technology won. We try to say this technology was chosen.
Which is cool.
I like that. Because it could just be the thing that people want to learn more about.
Yeah.
And so.
So going back to your talk, what is this talk about in terms of?
So there were 10 security system design choices that we made as part of You Choose, as part of the streaming show. So we've narrowed it down because we have time constraints to 4 different system design choices. So we're going to go over all the admission controller choices or cluster level policy. We're going to do the 2 runtime choices, so Falco and CubeArmor. We're going to do all the secrets management choices, which is really more about bringing secrets into Kubernetes than it is managing secrets altogether. And then we're going to do securing pod-to-pod communications, which will touch on service mesh and CNI, but we're not talking about service mesh as like the whole features. We're just talking about that one aspect of service mesh.
But this is a live audience, so they can't really choose.
We have systems in the software, in the slide.
So this is a short version of the talk.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
She explains,
mm-hmm.
people vote,
mm-hmm.
I implement,
mm-hmm.
repeat.
Yep.
So you're going to implement this live.
Whatever they chose, yes.
Whatever they choose.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a tiny note there, but you will have to come to the talk to see. There is one outlier. I will not reveal which one it is.
Yeah.
So usually there's like question and answers and things like that. So what do you expect people to, you know, first get out of it? And what do you think people are going to be interested in? I'm just curious, like what your opinions on that are.
In terms, there, no one's going to be able to ask questions because we're going to use every last second of our talk and maybe even some.
I mean, if anything, we might not finish the talk on time, but we're not going to finish too early. We know that in advance. So there won't be questions, at least not questions during the talk itself, maybe afterwards, right?
Yeah.
What they should get out, I think it's just having a broader perspective of choices, right? Because very often people are constrained in a way in a company. Kind of, my company chose that we should use this, right?
Yep.
And mm-hmm. they're not really understanding. I feel that people very often do not understand really what are the choices there. And I'm not saying we're not going to teach people everything they should know about each of those choices, but just kind of, okay, this is the box, which is a bit bigger than you thought, right? And then there are some things in that box. Take a look, right?
And I like our talk because it's good for all levels of knowledge.
I love that.
So I'm describing why do you even want cluster level policy and the basics of what each tool does and what differentiates the tool from other tools. And then if you're more of an expert, you might already know that. But if you are, if you're an expert, you'll be like really captivated with the implementation details as part of the demo. But if you can come in knowing nothing and hopefully be able to hang on.
If you know everything, then you must still get some pleasure from choosing something that you know it's hard for me to implement later. So there's something for everybody, really.
What do you think is going to be the hardest choice to implement if they choose it?
I cannot say that.
Well, this is realize that this will be live after.
Ah, okay, okay, yeah, okay.
So, this isn't live now, so.
I'm not sure whether it's hardest, but for managing secrets, there are three choices.
External and, secrets operator.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What else? Yeah.
Yes. The other one is.
Secret store CSI driver.
Exactly. Okay. Which is
easy.
Which is bad, first of all, because yeah. I cannot pronounce it. I tried many times, kind of like nobody can. But more importantly, because we cannot use it. Right, because third-party applications cannot really mount volumes instead of secrets. You would need to rewrite their charts and stuff like that. So that's a project that is a good choice, but very specific. We cannot use it, right? So that one is out. And then
SOPS is the other
one, which I still have a beef with. SOPS maintainers, please create a Kubernetes operator. Please, please don't make me write scripts in Argo CD.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about what are the other choices now? So you had that was for secrets. And what were the other ones?
So cluster level policy or admission controller policy.
And what do you have under that?
Caverno, OPI Gatekeeper, and KubeWarden.
Okay.
So we're not doing Cloud Custodian and we're not doing validating admission policy just because we don't have time to do all of them.
Yeah.
We're cramming it as it is. So we're doing just those three choices. Then runtime policies, Falco and CubeArmor.
Okay.
Then the secrets we talked about, we're leaving Teller out because we just don't have time. And then the final one is securing pod-to-pod communication, which we're doing Istio, Linkerd, and Cilium.
Okay. Those are all good choices.
Yeah.
are you like, you know your votes already?
Just to be fair, I do work for Cisco. Uh-huh. And we did buy...
Okay, so we
have skin in the game now. But you know, honestly,
yeah, that's what you say on a camera. How do we know that anonymously?
I will ask you again after this.
I had Liz Rice on right before this. So.
Yeah.
but I'm a Cilium fan. You know, I'm here. So I would choose that regardless. You know, and I'm not just saying that for the, for the show.
Well, part of the talk is like a time where I'm like, okay, well, we already have a cluster running and our cluster has to have a CNI or it wouldn't work. So Victor, are we already running Cilium?
How do you just like when you decide that and you're already running things, do you just...
Well,
so since there are no CNIs to be decided in CNCF apart from Cilium, the clusters I'm creating, which again, cluster is in Azure, in Google Cloud, in AWS, those are also the choices. So clusters, I already prepared to create them with Cilium CNI, right?
Okay.
But then the question when it comes to service mesh is kind of like, okay, you can choose Istio, and then we put Istio on top of Cilium. You can choose Linkerd, we can put that on top of Cilium, or you can choose Cilium and then we do nothing.
There you go.
So I've been like working into the talk, like we must have a CNI, Victor. Are we using Cilium already? So he's like, yeah, we are. And so even to recap, we have these choices and Cilium that's already running.
Now, do you pre-script like the installation of a lot of these combinations? Like if you know there's certain things that you'll need, prerequisites, things like that to make it easier?
Yeah, so it depends in a talk, like in here or in a talk. Yeah, I actually, my cluster is probably crying aloud now because I installed all those things just to avoid, you know, because to me, it's not fun to, wait for 5 minutes until we install, tell me install and stuff like that. The boring part.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I pre-installed a bunch of things. The only things that I don't have pre-installed and that I will have to install live is service meshes because
I
discovered that when I install Linkerd and Istio and Cilium at the same time,
that's not good.
It's not good. And I'm not clever enough to debug it, nor I have enough desire to debug it.
Who would want to do that?
Exactly. It's never going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I successfully do run... service mesh on top of Cilium, but two of them on top of Cilium, that's a no-go.
Yeah, that's a different story because those are two different levels.
Exactly.
So, Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
You did try, though.
I did try. No. I did. I did because I have a pre-KubeCon setup that I executed this morning, and I did try this, and no, not pretty.
Hey, you know, I come from, you know, a cybersecurity background where I was, you know, like an ex-hacker where I used, for 20 years, I was doing cybersecurity.
Okay.
And so I always like to know how things work and how things break. Uh-huh. So I'm like you, I'll try it, see what happens, because I just want to know for my own knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, because realistically, for the talk, if literally everything can be installed, I mean, there's still a lot of things to do during the talk and modify stuff, but at least install, that would be awesome. That's a logical idea.
Yeah.
There is like a layer of our talk, like there's all the choose your own adventure stuff that's super fun, and then there's the fact that we're trying to speed run it because we should probably just do three decisions, but that's no fun.
What made you decide on all, like, if you could pick one of those categories and probably do it for the whole talk, like that's a lot.
Yeah, but I think that's what's interesting about it, is to get like an overview of like what your concerns are when you're thinking about security and more voting for people, which is fun.
Yeah, but I would also argue that different people care about different aspects of that. You know, it's not always the same teams that are going to care about those different things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I would love for people to care about all that stuff, but it just doesn't seem to happen.
Yeah, you're touching on a potentially tricky subject of people caring and security putting in the same sentence, which itself can be a whole podcast, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes back to how people learn about Kubernetes. You know, people learn the bare minimum to say, hey, I have these microservices. I've learned to use these microservices, which is a really good point in your career. And that's probably one of the most exciting things, is when you start to learn this stuff. And
because at that point you have something running.
You have something running, but then you're like, I got to get it to prod. And then they're like, whoa, that's a whole different story. And you got to learn all the policies and the security and and the network security. And the, you know, if you're going to use certificates and, you know, all these other kinds of things that you probably didn't need to think about before.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, definitely. But that's also usually an afterthought. That's the second thing that they're thinking of.
And it's normal that it's afterthought because, you know, if you would say, okay, I'm going to start from day one learning about all those things, you're going to explode. That's not going to happen, right? You need to go gradually until you reach the point that you're comfortable with all the things that are required in production, whatever that something is for your company, right? So it makes sense. Let me learn what is a container, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Okay, how about pod? Oh, there is something called replica set. So we're not finished yet. There is something called deployment. Oh, still not. Service. That by alone is already very, very overwhelming. Yeah. And if you would throw, let's say, just for the sake of keeping the same subject, right? Let's say that if it would throw a service mesh to that person from day one. Yeah. Come on, really. What the heck is going on? I don't know what is a service, and you're telling me about service mesh.
Yeah. Well, I always argue that people don't want a service mesh. They want the features of a service mesh. They don't want something else to maintain. They want those features.
Mm-hmm. You know? That's usually I often get asked, among other things, say, should we use service mesh? And my answer is the same. No. Until you realize that there is a thing that you need.
Yes.
Right? TLS would be obvious, right? Yeah, you need TLS, but just install service mesh and you have it.
That's the easiest way.
Exactly. Yeah. Or my favorite is, do you want to do canary deployments, for example, right? Yeah. It might, to many people, it's not even obvious what's the relation, but actually there is a very strong relation between being able to redirect traffic depending on certain things or not, right? Yeah. And that's where you jump into service mesh. But that's not only for service mesh. To me, that's for anything else, right? Do you need this? I don't know. Do you need this feature? Don't ask me whether you need
the tool.
Right?
Well, that goes back to what I keep saying is that people are asking the wrong questions. They're asking how do I manage my platform, when really it is, what does my application need? Mm-hmm. And that's the question you need to ask first, because that will answer a lot of the questions. But like me, I have shiny object syndrome, and I'm the first one to complain about it, that people are asking this. But I'm also the first one to want to try something new just because it's new and I want to see how it works, you know. But I'm in emerging tech, so I get paid to do that.
Look for outcomes. Like what do you want your outcome to be?
Exactly.
And then figure out the tech to put behind it.
To be honest, a few times I would answer with some ridiculous thing. It's kind of like, you should use Kuma, because I'm really interested to find out what it is. I don't know what it is. I never used it. I cannot recommend it because I don't know what it is, but it would be so great if you would use it so that then I'm joining along and we find out.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just trying to think of something obscure now that I could tell somebody to use.
No co-host.
Yeah, no co-host. Like there you go. No, yeah. No co-host. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of those, though. I mean, there's a lot of these small projects that have like a niche that are kind of interesting that I'd love to try out if I had the need for it. You know?
We just had Container SSH on. We did an episode that was just miscellaneous stuff that we didn't know where to put it. Yeah.
That reminds me, I need to prepare it for the day.
So I wrote this thing one time. So in big companies, you have firewalls all over and then labs and things like that. So I got fed up with it, of having a VPN to all these different things. Mm-hmm. And I created this container orchestrator that would bring up containers on your PC. Uh-huh. And then it would use Guacamole and some other things to get you into that container. And then it would use either WireGuard or IPsec to get that. So that way you can bring up multiple labs without having to VPN your whole computer into everything. So it's really cool. I should have created an open source solution for it. It had a need at that time that I was just like, I got so fed up with like getting into different labs, and I had like 15 different labs I had to go to. So that's what I decided to do. That was my way out of it.
Cool.
So we're getting towards the end here. I have a new segment that I'm gonna kind of start with you guys, and I call it Buzzworthy or Buzzworthless.
Okay.
And I'm gonna give you some terms, and you can tell me whether you think they're buzzworthy or buzzworthless.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm gonna start with old school. So I'm gonna go DevOps.
As it's implemented.
Maybe there's even as much as the complexity of like who defines what DevOps is, you know.
I will answer that question under one condition.
Okay.
If I can ask the next one.
Okay. Well, that's it. I like that.
Then yes, buzzworthy. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm supposed to also answer?
Yeah, you both answer.
And I'm just okay. I just want to reiterate that I'm a new learner. Started in cloud in 2020. No. So I actually don't know a world before DevOps. Like right when I got in was the first talk. Everyone was saying shift left. And I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? I have no idea what this means.
Yeah.
So so I guess it's all I know. So I'll say buzzworthy.
Okay, we'll go with yours next. And then I'm going to go
DevOps engineers.
Okay, DevOps engineers.
That goes down. That's buzzworthless.
Say why.
Because I believe that DevOps is all about creating autonomous teams that are capable of writing code for application, testing, et cetera, the things that normally you were doing in agile teams before, but also to do the second half of the story. Deploy it to production to do stuff, right? To be in a whole control of lifecycle of an application, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a team. And DevOps engineer ended up being a role where people, okay, so I was working with Jenkins before, they offered me higher salary for renaming myself to DevOps engineer. I'm becoming a DevOps engineer, but I'm essentially doing the same. I'm still ops person in somewhere else. Uh-huh. That is detached from those teams that I'm talking about, right? I think that DevOps engineers are not really breaking the walls, and I feel that was the goal of DevOps engineering. DevOps, yeah.
So the reason why I asked that is because my next one's platform engineering.
Oh, yes.
So is that buzzworthy or buzzworthless?
Buzzworthy.
Buzzworthy.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that too, because I think that's it's better defined, and I think that it's actually tangible. With DevOps, you ask 100 different people, and you get 100 different answers.
Uh-huh.
That's why I insisted on DevOps engineer.
Yeah.
Because I think that DevOps is more like a cultural change, right? Process change, maybe. Yeah. And then I see platform engineering as being one potential technical implementation of that.
Yes.
In a way, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, the DevOps engineer, if you rename yourself now to platform engineer, then that would make me a little less sad.
Okay, so we are here at KubeCon, and you know, besides being in this room all day, I'd love to hear what people are excited about that are at KubeCon each year. And each year I get a theme of like, what is what is most talked about every year, or every, not every year, every KubeCon, because I go to every KubeCon. So what do you think, first of all, what do you like? What was it that you're excited about this year? And then what do you think the theme is of this KubeCon?
I just watched platform, day one keynotes. There wasn't one segment, not one single segment that wasn't about AI. It was all AI.
Are you AI?
No.
Oh, okay. You're really here.
As far as I know, none of us are really sure anymore.
I mean, I'm personally always excited about the same thing in KubeCon. And that's, I'm here mostly for the hallway truck. I'm here to meet all the people and things like that.
Yeah, so,
I'm not that informed about the talks myself, even though I'm giving them, right?
Yeah.
And the subject will be AI for sure. Mm-hmm. Every second vendor in the expo hall is going to rush into putting AI sticker there.
Okay, but so
I believe in AI. Just to clarify, I think it's a huge thing. It's coming. It's going to change everything.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that every single company who has zero experience with AI is going to bring it on.
Yeah. So I agree. I mean, I think there's a lot of architecture right now.
Yeah.
But you know, there's definitely a place for AI if implemented correctly. Absolutely.
No doubt.
But I do think that there's 80-90% of the companies that are just using it for, you know, to get more venture capital at this point.
It's definitely at the peak. It feels like it's at the peak of the hype cycle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel, and this is going to sound awful, you can cut it later.
No,
I feel that many of the tools that are just putting AI sticker, right, have three different stages. First is kind of like, okay, you, can you learn how to invoke ChatGPT with the CURL?
Yep.
Step number one. Now, can you rewrite that into Go? That's five lines. Step number two. Now embed it into the project. I feel that that's what many are doing right now.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with that. So I'm so glad you guys came on. I'm excited to, I don't know if I'll be able to see your talk because I'll probably have other interviews, but I'm excited to hear how it went. And by the way, the other
it's going to be great. You don't need to wait for it to find
it
out.
Is.
Yeah.
There is zero doubt. There is no possibility for any other outcome except absolutely great.
Yes. Yeah. No. So I look forward to hearing about it. And, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
All right.